B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on a Friday going into a long weekend. Good morning, everyone. Fellas, how we doing?
Really good.
Great.
Great.
I can't
Glad
see
to hear it.
I can't see anything on my monitor.
Okay. Well,
that's all. Just putting that out there.
All right. Well, you can work on that. Figure that out at some point.
I can't work on that. They have to work on that. You know what I mean?
What would you like me to tell you?
Tell them fix it.
Them meaning the gremlins running around your house who know how to use your iPad?
No, the people at NBC Sports Boston, our lovely friends over there, Josh and everybody, that are much more technologically advanced than Scott Zolak is.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll try and get on that for you. Let's get to it. As you heard John Wallach say in the update, and as you heard us say yesterday, that ESPN has ordered up 9 episodes from Tom Brady and his production company for an ESPN 9-part series on Brady that will begin next year. We played the trailer yesterday. Brady made it a point to mention that it will go over the 9 Super Bowls. Actually, that was in the press release. 9 Super Bowls, 9 episodes.
Wow.
Trying to maybe figure out if each episode is a Super Bowl. And it's Brady's view of each Super Bowl and from his perspective how each one went. Maybe that's what it is. I'm not sure. We don't know those exact details yet.
I want the Philadelphia Eagle one.
But let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a question.
You can keep all the rest of them.
Before you ask your question, Beetle.
Sure.
I love the idea of ESPN ordering up the episodes. Like there are guys sitting around the 199 production office just waiting for the phone to ring, and then ding,
I imagine it. I imagine it as a fax. Is that weird?
Hold on to something. Finally, we got something. We put together this cockamamie production company. We got an order. They want 9 episodes.
Do you remember Argo?
Work.
Remember Argo?
Yes.
Remember the setup in Argo? I imagine John Goodman sitting in the office.
In a bungalow.
At 199 Productions.
Yes.
Waiting for the phone to ring or the fax machine to go off.
Oh, my God. Order in. Ding.
Studio 6, yes. So Studio 199 there with Tom Brady and his friends. They get 9 episodes ordered, and they're going to ESPN with the 9 episodes next year, 2021. We just wrapped up with Jordan's 10-part docuseries. And, again, I call that a autobiographical documentary that Michael Jordan and his production team just put together along with ESPN. 10 parts. We just watched it. The Last Dance. We all agree it was very good. Despite all of our criticisms that we threw at it along the way, we, at the end of the day, say that was really good. That was worth watching. It was entertaining. It was enjoyable. It was good. At the end, and now we haven't seen Brady, so we're making a prediction here. After Brady's airs next year, which one do you think we will come away saying was the better of the two series? And I think the answer...
Brady.
I think the answer is going to be... No, not Brady. I think it's going to be Jordan. I think Jordan's and The Last Dance will hold up as being better than Brady's.
Well,
that's my
final
prediction.
See, Jordan's was final, right? The Last Dance. Brady will leave it open-ended. Like, he's not done. He wants one more. I think that's why Brady's will be better. Like, he still wants to go. He still
How is that
drive.
Better? Like, a movie that doesn't have a real ending and they just leave it open for the
you
sequel?
Part two. Yeah,
you think that's a better ending than having
an
ending?
Jordan? Would you like more of Jordan?
What, more from that documentary?
Yeah.
No, it's done. It's all over. Well, it was the last dance. Okay. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end. Great, great series. Great 10-part episode. But to me, it's not even about the ending. It's more about the amount of time in between what happened and now it's going to be documented. And I'm sure people will argue, well, they're going to start, 20 years ago, and that's where the Jordan thing ended. Yeah, that's where the Jordan thing ended. They went back to, did some stuff at UNC. They did the early years with the Bulls. I mean, that was 35, 36 years ago. That deserves a documentary treatment, as do the beginning championships. Certainly all the stuff with the Pistons, and then all the stuff that happened early on. I mean, now we're talking, that was almost 30 years ago. It was 30-plus years ago for the Pistons stuff. I mean, there's been a lot of time. You forget things. What have you – we just lived through these last few Super Bowls, and now we're going to get an hour-long documentary about, the Super Bowl, the loss to the Eagles? I don't know. That seems like that just happened.
I really like the end. I really like the end of the Jordan documentary because it was – a look back at a series that had happened 22 years ago with the Utah Jazz, 22 and 23 years ago, and having not really paid attention to that series or multiple series, that was helpful, that it was a while ago. And you watch it and say, oh, I remember watching that series. That was a great series. Or I remember that game. That's exactly, Hardy. There's some distance between you and what you're watching the documentary about. You have some level of knowledge already about what you were going to see in the Jordan documentary. You know about the six titles. You watch those teams. And so to go back to it all these years later is sort of entertaining and fun, and it feels a little new, and you're seeing things that you maybe have forgotten about. So there's that element. I think the biggest thing is not so much about the time or the lack of an ending. My thing is the personalities of the two guys involved. Jordan protected himself in his documentary, and I think that's why I go out of my way to keep saying it was autobiographical. This is his version of events. And obviously, he was not going to be critical of himself. So everyone else gets it in the documentary. Jerry Krause gets it. Reinsdorf gets it. Everybody else that was, worthy of being criticized in Jordan's mind was on the receiving end of it in the documentary. And yes, you can criticize him for that, but at least you got that, and you know what he didn't like, who he hated, who he couldn't stand, the problems that he thought existed on the team, all the sort of the drama and the controversy, and it wasn't all just about we were great and won six titles. Is Brady going to do that? Is Brady going to tell us how he really felt during that Eagles game about Malcolm Butler sitting on the bench? Oh, by the way, while he's still a player in the NFL? Is he going to, and I know he doesn't play for Bill anymore, he doesn't play for the Patriots anymore, but is he really going to tell us how he felt that day? Is he really going to tell us how he felt about the league and Roger Goodell when they suspended him for four games and he took them to federal court? Is he really going to tell us how he felt or really give us the real backstory? Is he really going to tell us what he put in the text messages to JJ and Dorito Dink and that whole deal? I don't think we're going to get that. Is he really going to tell us why it is he left and when it went bad and what his relationships were at the end of his time in New England? Is any of that going to come out in the wash at the end?
He won't tell Butler because he already did that. He said he was sitting on the sideline. And he's asking somebody, he's like, why is Malcolm not in the game? What defense could we possibly be in where Malcolm Butler is not in the damn football game? He already did that.
Okay, then how about this? Are we going to get an answer? Are we going to get his theory as to why he wasn't in the game?
Probably not.
Then look,
because then it sells the coach down a river. He won't do that to Bill out of respect.
Well, this is the most important thing for me when I'm going to sit down and devote 9 hours of my life to watching TV. I don't want anyone to feel disrespected. Oh, that would be the worst thing in the world.
He's not going to go after anybody. He's not going to go after anybody in this. That's not who he is. And so that's not a knock on him. I think I believe he's like a really well balanced dude. Like, I think he forgives people and moves on, and he has, believe it or not, being, married to a supermodel and being super famous, I think he's probably way more normal than we give him credit for. He is. And he's a nice guy. So that's great, and it will be great to watch. Hey, yeah, Super Bowls we love, but it's not going to be dramatic and entertaining the way Jordan is.
That's the
like
that's
Jordan's the- a dick. That's why it's great. Like, oh my God, look at Jordan. He's all pissed off about this. He hates Isaiah. He hates Krause. Crapping on everybody.
Right.
And you're like, wow, that's dramatic. I mean, that's what you watch a movie for. That's what you watch a film for. Sort of that, you know. Conflict, and I don't think you're going to get it in Brady's. You're just going to get a retrospective on all the great stuff he's done, and okay, that's, you know, worth putting out there because people eat that stuff up, but I don't think it's going to be as good as Jordan's. No. I don't think you're going to get that.
Well, you just said, like a lot of people said, the most entertaining part, the best part of the Jordan documentary was what he said about Isaiah and what other people said about him, and do you think Isaiah Thomas felt disrespected by that? Do you think his feelings were hurt by that? I can guarantee they were. He's probably still fuming over it. I mean, I don't wish bad feelings on anyone, but if we're talking about what's entertaining and what's compelling, that is. Just talking about the accomplishments of stuff and you know, rehashing a lot of it. And you know, I say all this, I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be well produced. I'm sure we'll all watch it and enjoy it. But if you just lay out the things that we have, you know, on the plate in front of us here, including The Last Dance, which we've already watched, you know, rank them in terms of what you think are going to be the most interesting. Last Dance, the Bruce Lee, what are they doing, 30 for 30s on him, Lance Armstrong, the home run
chase.
The
home run chase.
And Tom Brady's Super Bowl wins. What do you think, if you had to rank them, where's the Tom Brady one gonna rank just before we've seen all but one of them?
I'd say the comeback.
The comeback?
Yeah, the 25-point comeback. Yeah, I'd say that one would rank first.
See, I think just in terms of...
Because that's new and hasn't been covered yet? I mean, what's different about watching it from that perspective as opposed to any other special that's already been put together?
Give me the inside juice on
here. He said rank the Super Bowl. So
No, it's not what he said. He said rank of all the documentaries that have come out and are part of sort of the, we'll call it the pandemic era on ESPN. You know, everything that will be coming in the coming weeks and months, as well as Brady next year in sort of this time frame.
I think the Lance Armstrong one, if done correctly,
could be much better.
Fascinating, maybe. Yeah. And you know, it's not. I don't think it's going to be as comprehensive as the Jordan thing, just in terms of length. But man, is there a lot of stuff there.
And
the
so if it's
the
on...
Sosa McGuire thing, my God!
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
Can't wait, Bruce
that
Lee.
That's the next best.
Who didn't like Bruce Lee and want to know more and see stuff? Yes.
But see, that's the thing. We don't know much about Bruce Lee. I would watch Bruce Lee because I want to learn more about him.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you right, need to learn this, more about? What do you need to learn more about Tom Brady and the Patriots and the Super Bowl wins? There's plenty, but I don't think you're going to get it. You know, you say, is he going to say how he felt about Malcolm Butler? I don't care how he felt. I want to know what happened. I want to know why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl. And all I can all but guarantee we're not going to find out from this 199 Productions piece that they're going to put on ESPN.
617-779-0985. We'll pick this up on the other side. More thoughts on the upcoming Brady 9-part documentary. Is someone taking their headphones off?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Yeah.
Brady documentary, 9 parts. Man in the Arena, coming up in 2021.
I don't like that title.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the Teddy Roosevelt poem or whatever he says it's based on, but he says...
What's he say? A lion? What's he, a lion in the Roman times?
What did he say? It was the quotes were hanging on the wall, or the thing was hanging on the wall at Michigan?
Yep.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena.
Nice.
Whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. Right. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who, I ask you, Zolak and Bertrand, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Yeah. NBC still hasn't fixed my monitor.
Well, I'd say shut it down, you know? Shut down the whole operation there. Right. We'll see you Tuesday. What? Call them. Text them. I don't know. Back on track with Brady. 9 parts. Man in the Arena. If it's about 9 Super Bowls, and each one is a Super Bowl, which, is, again, we're sort of led to believe that based on the press release and what we saw yesterday. Is this going to be like America's Game? Have you ever seen America's Game on NFL Network?
Oh, my God, I love it. I love it.
You love that, huh?
That's my favorite. I actually like America's Game better than 3 Games to Glory and sound effects.
Okay, so in America's Game, if you haven't seen it, they basically go through a game, and you have players and coaches that were in the game talking about the game. And there are some... where you come away saying, oh, there's a few interesting things said there. But for the most part, I find them boring. Oh, are they boring? You watch for an hour to come away with 4 minutes worth of interesting things that were said over the course of the 4 hours. I mean, over the course of the hour. It's like you get 4 minutes out of it. You get one good minute, you're like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. But for the most part, oh, it's so vanilla. It's so vanilla and it's so boring. And you know why I know that? You know how I know that's true and how I know that NFL Network knows
that? That's true.
Because they don't rerun that show like they do all their others. They don't.
Right.
They don't rerun that show, do they?
One touch shot, baby.
They run it like, you know, a couple of times. You might get the occasional rerun, but that is not in their rotation, their heavy rotation of reruns that they're always doing, whether it's, you know, highlights of a certain Super Bowl, or it is what's the game on where they do the profiles of the individual players? Why am I blanking on that? Football Life.
Yeah,
Football Life. They'll run Football Life 1,000 times before they run another episode of America's Game because Football Life is so much better. It's so much better. And so I guess you want to hope that this is closer to a Football Life than it is America's Game talking specifics of the game.
Right.
That's what I would hope for. Closer to the Football Life, which moves, by the way. That's why I really like that. They go through a lot of stuff in a short amount of time in a Football Life. But if we're about to watch America's Game for 9 straight hours, yeah, I don't know it's going to do all that well. I don't know that people are going to look at it and think it's great.
America's Game is slightly better than those like half-hour, like mid-90s or early 90s, like, season packages.
Right? Oh, yeah. I disagree. Love the season package.
No, but it's that plus guys talking. That's what it is.
I don't like the season package. I don't want to see Chiefs Raiders halfway through the season. No. Give me a Football Life. I don't want to see that. Mm-mm. America's Game. Give me America's Game.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number for you if you get some thoughts on this. The other thought I had about this is Brady trying to chase Jordan or be like Jordan with this? Do you think that crossed his mind at all when he heard?
No, I don't.
And it's been known for a while that the Jordan documentary was going to be a thing. And, you know, we started talking about it more recently when it was hitting TV. But I wonder if, you know, oh, Jordan's got one. I got to get one, too. You know, there's always this constant comparison between Jordan and Brady. There is, even before this happened. So, 617-779-0985. Andrew in Connecticut. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys.
What's up, bud? What's up?
So I'm just wondering, you know, with the quote with the Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena, you know, is that like another, you know, subtle swing at Bill? You know, the whole debate about Brady being the guy in the arena, he's the one making the plays versus, you know, the coach on the sidelines.
Ooh, interesting, but I doubt it. I doubt it. I really do. I don't,
really,
because you know why?
Because, wait a minute.
Because Belichick qualifies as a man in the arena, yeah, too. I mean, even though he's a coach,
right?
I think that he would qualify, just, you know, not maybe not as much in the mind of a player, but pretty close.
So they fixed this now to where I see Beetle and Hardy, and I see an avatar of myself in the middle now.
So it's a setting on your end.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean,
it's
Jim?
A setting on your iPad, okay?
I haven't touched anything.
We'll talk about it during the break.
Okay?
Joe is in Billerica. Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Zola, hey, Joe.
You'll get it fixed, bud. Real quick, though, I was just telling the call screener, the documentary is about Brady. It's about his from 199 to greatness. If you look at the clip of it, it's all tranquil, it's all peace, the waves crashing. There's very little football being played in that documentary. It's all about, it's almost like a TV12 plug for how he's lasted so long, how he's achieved so much, how the odds have always been against him, but 199 still standing. And I honestly think that's what it will be.
I don't know if we can judge it based on whatever trailer or anything we've seen so far. I haven't seen anything yet other than the announcement.
Well, we saw the little video, but there wasn't much to it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm still operating under the assumption that this is going to be more than watchable. It's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be good. I mean, the Gotham Chopra stuff that they did on Facebook was fantastic. It was well done. It was well produced.
Good question, Hardy. Is it going to be better or worse than Tom versus Time? Tom versus Time was really good.
Tom versus Time was really good. And again, we're operating from a base of like Tom Brady and Patriot fans. Okay, so know your audience, and if that's the audience, then this is going to go over well. We're just, you know, we're being honest. You know, I don't know that anyone around here is necessarily, you know, a Chicago Bulls or Michael Jordan fan, but you recognize him as being the greatest of all time. How do they tell the story? They told it really well. Now Tom Brady is going to tell his story. Okay. Kind of an odd choice, maybe, for somebody who started a production company right out of the gate while he's still playing. But okay, I still think it's going to be good, and I don't think it's going to be all fluff. I don't think it's going to be one long TB12 infomercial. But there's a lot of stuff we can already guess that we would love to see in there.
Yeah.
That those same Patriots and Tom Brady fans would love to have answered that they're probably not going to get answered. And again, to be fair, a lot of stuff in that Jordan documentary that didn't get answered. Did they really get into the gambling enough?
Hardy has headlines. We'll be back after this. So we do want to get into what's going on this weekend, which is the big, big event that we've all been waiting for.
All right.
Tiger, Peyton, Phil, Tom Brady, all of it, the match number two is going to be happening this weekend. We've got some questions. We've got some thoughts on that. How interested are you to watch it this weekend? And, of course, more of your calls on Brady and his 9-part documentary, putting it up against Jordan. All of that on the way. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand, 10:38. Hardy did not have this in his headlines because it just broke between the time headlines happened and now.
Way to call me out.
Well, no, no. I'm saying you couldn't have had it in headlines. It's happened since you did the headlines.
All right.
That's all. I just asked. I just asked Jim. I said, was this in headlines or did this just happen in the last 4 minutes? The Utah Jazz have issued a statement today. Jerry Sloan passed away at the age of 78. It's funny because I had heard Jerry Sloan's name yesterday. Maz had referenced him in a conversation about rebuilding teams and how if you had, you know, a great general manager like Jerry Sloan in his prime sort of building teams, that you'd feel better maybe letting a guy like Jordan walk out the door. But he passed away at the age of 78. He had Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia, which is awful, awful.
Terrible.
So Jerry Sloan passes away today at the age of 78. That's an NBA story that just broke a couple minutes ago. Coming up this weekend, Hardy, we've got sports back. We sort of circled this one on the calendar for weeks now as something made-for-TV event. It's the Match 2, Phil and Tiger, and this time with Peyton and Brady as well. I got to say, the closer we get to it, I'm not as excited about it as I thought I'd be.
Well, if you watch,
not, I am.
If you watched any of last weekend's match, I would fully understand.
Are we as desperate for sports as we think we are?
No. What we're desperate for is personalities. Like, you get four good personalities, I think. Take Tiger out of it. I think Phil's pretty funny. Tiger can be a little bit of a stiff, but the other two are personalities, Peyton and Tom. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking for the opposite. I'm not like personalities and entertainment right now. We've been loaded up on that.
You know,
we've all buried ourselves in on-demand and Netflix and Hulu and whatever else you've been binging for the last 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Now I just want to see a good game of some sort.
Right.
And right?
It doesn't even have to be like that much personality driven. And certainly that would have made the first Tiger Phil thing a lot better if those guys just had better personalities.
Yeah.
What would make it better is if there were just, and maybe this is personality still, just these guys like giving each other a hard time, right? As people tend to do whenever they get together to play golf or basketball or ping pong or poker, whatever it is, you talk a lot of trash to your buddies, and that's should be what makes it entertaining.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of that last weekend. I'm hoping for a little bit more, and I guess I'm gonna watch it. I watched last weekend, although I tapped out early and often once I kind of got the vibe of the whole thing. I think this one has a chance to be a little bit better produced, and
sure. And
I'm interested to see just like a couple of the details, like how they handle a couple of the details of the things.
Well, the best thing about this is two guys are not pro golfers, so you have Peyton and you have Tom. What I want to see is one of these guys get caught in a rough and do what Hardy does, or what I do,
yes. Or
definitely what Beta would do. Is just take a 7-iron and just scowl the living hell out of that thing, go flying across the green and almost kill the guy that's trying to film him on
Bingo.
The other side of it. I want to see pure chaos. That's what I'm rooting for. I want to see skull shots. I want to see out of bounds. I want to see all that stuff. I want to see a guy tap a putt and not tap it hard enough to where it only goes 3 feet.
So I know you didn't watch last weekend. I don't blame you, but that was one of the telling things from last weekend, watching these guys play without their caddies, without their yardage books that are put together over the course of God knows how long by how many people. And they actually sell these books and these green maps. You see these guys consulting those big books that they pull out of their back pocket.
It's got it right now on a TV broadcast.
Go ahead. Like this, the topography of the green and how much it breaks and all this stuff. Without that
the
stuff.
Percentage slant.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they're still really, really good. But they were missing putts that you don't see them, A, miss when they're playing, and they don't
ever
miss them by as much. Like, you know, 8-10 footers, and they're missing by a foot. Like,
yeah. Oh,
these guys kind of suck at putting like the rest of us.
That's going to be the greatest thing about Sunday is Brady and Manning are going to be having 5 putts, which is going to be fantastic.
Well, I think they'll probably be a chance for some, you know, some really bad short game stuff. Tiger's not going to because it's his home course.
Right.
Phil, I don't think it matters for Phil. I think you put Phil on a brand new golf course he's never played before, and his short game is so good it probably won't matter. But, yeah, you'll see some bad short game stuff. This is going to sound weird. You know what I, and it wasn't even my question. It was a buddy asked me yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, do you think these guys are going to carry their own clubs?
Yes.
See, and.
But what I worry about
is. He asked me 3 weeks ago, I'd say, no, they'll probably have caddies or they'll take carts. I wonder if they get almost shamed into it after seeing Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Matt Wolff, all those guys walked 18, carry their own bags the whole time, and people dug it. People are like, oh, that's cool. That's how I got to play these days. Glad to see those guys doing the same thing. Dude, Tiger and Phil, I think they have no issue with it. Are Peyton and Tom, when was the last time Peyton Manning and Tom Brady went to play golf and walked and carried their own clubs? I wonder if they're going to do it on Sunday.
Here's where you can have an exemption for Brady, because he is currently an NFL player. Shoulder. Would he get an exemption because of his shoulder for wear and tear? Would he be allowed to have a caddy? And if he's allowed, then everybody else should be allowed to have a caddy. Not to help them read greens or that, but just one guy to carry the bags, put it down, then walk away from them.
I got to say, it's not that big a deal. I mean, I haven't played. Right. I played 9 holes in early March. I haven't walked and carried my clubs, you know, since then. And we got in 13 holes last night. I walked and carried the whole time, and I was fine.
Good job.
This doesn't begin until 3 p.m. on Sunday.
It's not a big deal, and I'm old and out of shape. These guys are all, like, in shape.
You have a hot tub now, so that kind of, you know.
I was thinking about it.
About that. If you carried all that stuff all over the weekend, then you didn't have the hot tub, but then you went and got in the hot tub.
I was thinking of it before I even played, and definitely by about the 7th hole, I'm like, yeah, that's going to feel good tonight.
And, Hardy, yeah. 3 p.m. on Sunday, and it goes for 5 hours.
That's a bit
broadcast
much.
Is 5 hours.
Might be a bit much.
It's like a baseball game. That's what it is. It's like a baseball game.
I just want that. Is it too much?
Can I tune in halfway through and then they recap the first half? Like, can there be something like that exists?
Like a 9-hole recap? Because yes. The match changes after 9 holes.
I know.
They're doing the, you know, the best ball team play, whatever, for the first 9, and then they're going to a modified alternate shot for the second 9. I don't know. We'll get all the rules. I still wish they would do 3 different matches, you know, kind of the round robin thing. But again, it was my buddy last night, JD, who said, "Now it's they're putting this on for casual fans. You can't start introducing like more intricate games that guys play on the golf course." And start a lot, you know, and then Tom and Peyton are like, you know, getting handicapped strokes on the last 6 holes. It's going to get too confusing for a casual golf audience. And I said, yeah, you're probably right.
All right, Hardy went golfing yesterday. More on that and more of your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. So we had a little change to the plans today. Normally every Friday, Beatle gives 3 songs. I give 3 songs. Hardy gives 3 songs. Memorial Day getaway, play songs. So instead, since it's not really like officially Memorial Day, Jim took my pool play.
I'm sorry, it's no longer Memorial Day?
I never said it was a Memorial Day.
You said it's not no longer officially Memorial Day.
It is no longer an officially Memorial Day playlist that we do every Friday before Memorial Day.
No.
You understand that? You gave 3, I gave 3, Hardy gave 3. So Hardy's getting very upset right now.
No,
I can see by his hands on his face.
No, I'm sorry. the itch on my eyebrows.
Oh, you wear a hat every day, so it like, starts to itch right here in the front. I like that hat.
Can't wait for a haircut. Holy God.
So Jim's using my entire dad's pool playlist today.
Okay.
So
maybe.
That's what we're going to do.
Maybe all day.
Maybe.
It's based on your performance today.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
Oh, boy. Oh, now corporate Jim's back.
No, this is producer Jim.
Oh, brilliant.
Must be nice to
you gotta step up your game, though. Step up your game, and we'll continue to play him, okay?
So according to you, my game has sucked.
No, last segment was good. That's why I played the song. The segment before that was terrible, so I didn't play a song.
It's happening.
Okay. It's on today.
The one that you shut your camera off, that wasn't good.
I had no connection, Jim, and you told me to reboot it.
No, I said let's wait till the break.
You never said wait till the break. Once you said, why don't you reboot your camera?
I think that was Beetle, but that's okay.
No, I didn't say anything.
I'm back. I'm good.
Okay. Of the like. All right, then. Mm-hmm. Hardy, you go golfing yesterday.
You said. First time. First
it was
time.
Fun?
How'd
it
you hit him?
Often. Sports
Every
Hub
single
Golf
hole
Club.
I was hitting him.
Yeah. By the way, Sports Hub Golf Club tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., followed by Hey, It's Hardy at 9 a.m., a.k.a. the Sports Hub Golf Club wrap-up show, a.k.a. Opre Sports Hub Golf Club.
Oh,
it has three
that.
Names. The 9 o'clock hour tomorrow morning has three different titles. We're workshopping it. We don't know
Opre
which one
Golf.
Is.
Opre Golf.
Whoa. So wait a minute. So
Opre Sports Hub Golf Club.
Mimosas.
We're calling this one the 19th hole.
Mimosas.
Now, please, Beetle. That's why you weren't invited to the brainstorming meeting.
Beetle, we gotta go in. Champagne, orange juice, mimosas. It's like an Opre Golf. It's a party golf.
You know what, Zoe? I maybe just call it mimosas.
Oh.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Yeah, so here's the thing. When you go back to doing things that you haven't done in a while, and there are new guidelines in place, and we've all experienced it, whether you're at the store and you just out of habit walk up to the counter. Like, well, there's a piece of green tape down here. Guess I'm not supposed to get that close. You're walking down the supermarket aisle. Whoops, there's an arrow pointing the opposite direction. Guess I'll walk past all the tomato paste down this aisle so I can get to the Pop-Tarts on the other aisle that I'm really here to get. Yesterday, playing golf was the exact same thing. I know. I've been talking about it for weeks. We've all been talking about it. What's the rule on flag sticks? You know what, Beetle? You don't even play.
Don't
touch them. Don't touch them.
What do you think I did on the first hole?
You touched it.
I went to grab the damn thing because it's second nature. You've been doing something the same way for decades, and I just went to go do it. And then, like an even bigger dope, played at the Cape Club in Sharon yesterday. They've got the nice little handle lifters, so you can roll the ball into the cup, and then you take your putter, and there's a little like hook at the bottom of the flagstick. You lift that up, and it lifts your ball up out of the hole. So this little mechanism, and the ball, rolls back onto the green as soon as you lift it up high enough. I went to reach down with my hand to grab that little handle. Just because I'm a dope. And like, no, just use your putter this way.
Did you get screamed at?
No. Nobody said anything. But there's all these things. It's like you don't think about it. These are easy rules to follow. Everybody can do it. And I've Very said easy. It. You know, everybody follow the rules. That way you don't screw it up for the rest of it. I almost broke two of them in the first two holes just because you're just so used to doing it a certain way.
And you're a golfer.
And but this first time I played under these conditions. I will say this, in terms of social distancing, it is far and away the safest thing I've done outside of my house, other than walking the dog early in the morning, where sometimes I don't see a soul. In terms of like going out and going to a place, even the guys that I played with, we never got closer than 10 feet from each other.
Which makes it mind-boggling that the governor couldn't come up with this 3 weeks ago.
Well, I don't know what all the issues were, and I really, so many. I don't know, but we never ever got close to another group. Never, I mean, barely saw people. A 15-minute window in between tee times. I mean, the first hole's a par five. And they were, you know, well past where they had hit their second shots by the time we teed off. And the group behind us never got closer than 300 yards. You know, it was just not an issue at all. So that part of it is working out great. The rest of it, it just takes a little getting used to. Like a lot of things do these days, it just takes some getting used to. But once we were doing it, it was great.
You get out onto the golf course, and you really are in these beautiful, serene woods.
Jim, was he barefoot? Jim, was he barefoot on that one?
Are we going to do that? You want to do it?
I don't know. It seems like he was doing it.
You feel like you're barefoot miles and miles from anywhere.
Do you?
No.
It is a big course.
I never played barefoot, and Franklin didn't play barefoot either. He's a golf pro at a big resort in wherever the hell we were, Barbados.
Yes, of course.
How was the mill there? Like when you walked in to the lobby and you could just see everything, how it was sprawling.
I thought the
lobby was what blew you away.
It wasn't the lobby. It was the duck.
I don't know. You walked in the lobby and you said it was breathtaking.
You know, take your breath away.
Did they cook the duck?
Smother you with a pillow when you pass out at 4 o'clock from 19 Coors Lights. See how your breathing is.
Oh boy!
By the way,
you think I passed out at 4:30?
So your microphone?
Yeah.
You may not even be able to hear it yourself, but you got to back off it a little bit today because the windscreen's not on there.
Uh oh. Guess what?
Don't turn his microphone down while he is adjusting it, Jim. Don't turn his mic down while he's fiddle-effing around with it, because that would be...
What'd you find?
What'd you find? On TV right there, baby.
What is it? Oh, windscreen.
I got a new one.
You got it? Oh, a new headset.
I got two.
Oh, yeah, you got to swap that out. Go to the other one.
I'll do it next break.
What happened to the other windscreen?
He ripped it off.
Why?
No, I didn't rip it off. It fell off. It was all
decrepit. It was frayed. It was all gross. Yeah. It was
Dennis
it was
gave me
off.
Junk. Dennis said he gave me this one in case I want to put my kid on any time with me.
All right,
then. Well, Zoe went out to eat last night.
Oh,
that
my
story.
God.
I may have seen something about that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim Murray went nuts last night.
All right. We'll hear that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Up. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're on the couch, blowing up my phone. You don't want to come out, but you don't want to be alone. It don't take but two to have a little soiree. If you're in
hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hardy is in our Town Fair Tire Studios back in Dorchester. Zoe went out to dinner last night.
Zoe's got a new mic.
If you didn't know that already from his tweets last night.
Oh, I'm so excited. So excited.
How's the experience?
How many weeks now? What, 11? 11 weeks preparing meals for an entire family. Kind of eat whenever you want. Eat in front of TV, eat at the table, eat outside, eat in your bed if you want. So the wife and I got to get dressed up and go out to eat last night. Because Rhode Island now has seating. And you could sit down outside, clarify that, and enjoy a fantastic meal. I was skeptical, very skeptical, because I read a lot of things. I really don't like going out to eat and paying $45 a meal and eating it with a spork or a knife that breaks while you're cutting it. So we sat down. We were here at the menus, very nice menus. Had a wine list.
They were not disposable paper menus.
Oh, hell no. No, real menus. Good food. Yeah. What are you going to put, a bone-in ribeye on a piece of paper?
If it cuts down on the spread of coronavirus, yeah, I would. I would accept it on a piece of paper.
So here we go. God forbid.
God forbid they follow the rules set forth in their own state.
Well, we've jumped the shark here. So there's me and my lovely wife right there. And I said, they handed me this knife. And I said, what is this? They said, these are a new steak knife, sir. And I have a braised short rib and bone. She had the steak, and I said, do you do martinis? Can we have martinis outside? Are they going to be in plastic cups? Oh, no, it's going to be in a chilled martini glass. So they bring me the martini glass, and I said, I just have one question. Do you have blue cheese stuffed olives? Because there's nothing worse than me going and getting a martini, and they put that green. What's that green stuff they put in the middle of a green olive?
Ugh.
It's awful. I forget the name of it. I said, take that out, and I said, I would love if you had some really good blue cheese in the back, which you could see they overstuffed my olives with blue cheese, hand-stuffed. And then they put three of those through a toothpick, and they rested it on top. And they said, sir, we're going to bring an extra glass of ice since it's so warm outside, since we're eating outside on our patio, because you could put a couple ice cubes in there just to keep your martini cold. I said, oh, that's lovely. And then they brought us some bread with some hot dipping oil, which was also lovely. And I had one of the best meals I've had in a long time. And I said, holy moly, big boy is coming back Sunday. So I took a picture and put it on social media. And Jim Murray, of course, the food snob that he is, lost his mind. He goes, name and location right now. And he goes, what would you recommend me to do this weekend? I said, well, I'd get in your car and I would either go to Narragansett or Newport, because I think that would be the two most happening places in the state. Of Rhode Island on Memorial Day weekend, because nothing is open in the Cape. So Rhode Island's open for business, folks, and they're doing it right. And they're doing it safely, okay? So the tables were spread out. We weren't sitting right on top of each other. The maitre d' sat us with a mask on. We sat down. The waitress came over. She had a mask on, took our drink order. And then the man that prepared our food, he had a mask on. He brought us our food.
So any of the patrons in the restaurant, did any of them have masks on?
No, you don't have that. You do not have to have a mask on when you're sitting and eating. What, are you going to cut a hole in your mask and stuff it through? Or it could be like Mason Verger. Maybe we could put it through a straw.
No, I find it one of the more interesting things about restaurants reopening is, the people who are eating there, I mean, you can't eat with a mask on.
There's no requirements to put your mask on. When we asked that, do we have to have mask on? They said, no, not when you're sitting. But if you're standing outside and if you're waiting, yes, you have to have your mask on.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Yeah. But it was done safely. It was done perfectly. And for one of the first days that they were open, I was happy for them. They were excited to have people in, and they treated us very well. And I will be back.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your meal.
I don't want to name the restaurant. You know what I mean?
Why?
So
why not?
Well, because I don't want to name the restaurant, because then they could get over flooded, and then maybe they may not be able to handle the amount of people.
Too much business. Don't want to be too good to them.
Oh, you know what?
It's reservation only.
Well, here's your problem.
No, you can't get over flooded.
Hey, I swear to God. It is a problem with reservations. So we actually did a really early dinner. We did an early dinner because it's tough to get in after 6 o'clock. Good luck trying to get in after 6 o'clock anywhere.
You don't want to name them, because I'm sure they would love the free advertising. You don't want to name them?
No, I don't want to name them.
Did you have an option of getting the plastic utensils if you wanted them, if you were concerned?
I walked in and I said, do you have plastic utensils? They said, no. I said, we're eating here. That's all. And that's why I don't want to name them. Yeah.
I want to be risky.
You know what I mean, Hardy? When you're sticking that fork in that steak and you start cutting with that plastic fork, and then that fork snaps, or else part of the knife snaps because maybe you like it a little more well done on the well done side. So
I find it interesting, Hardy and Zoe, because of the thing that Jim played a couple of weeks ago for us.
What he play?
The sound of the governor.
Seating will be by reservation only.
Yes.
And there likely will be no frequently touched and reused objects. So think of a menu, condiments, silverware. We'll all have to be individually wrapped. Staff will have to be wearing masks.
They were.
And she said likely.
Now,
so
now
she
the condiments. Now.
It was not concrete there that it had to be, plasticware and no glasses. But
the excellent part of this is they had about 8 different types of sauces, like an au poivre sauce for your steak, like a wine reduction. You could do a béarnaise, and they brought them in little tins. So it wasn't like you had to touch like ketchup or mustard or salt. There was no salt, pepper.
Yeah.
If you asked for salt and pepper, you had a little dish that they brought salt and pepper in, and you had to put it in with your hands. I thought it was done quite well.
As you celebrate Rhode Island here over the last 24 hours.
I celebrate Rhode Island. Go to Rhode Island, people.
Yeah, I would just say it's worth pointing out that Rhode Island has been able to open sooner and is open right now for the reason that their governor was very proactive in the beginning.
Yeah.
Gina Raimondo was very proactive and I just think that maybe some of the same people that are celebrating all their freedom down in Rhode Island are the same people that were pissed off at the governor 2 months ago, but it was because of those actions that they are now open.
That's a fair statement.
I think that's worth stating.
And I love Massachusetts. You know that. This is not about not liking Massachusetts or Rhode Island. It's about want to take in your wife out to eat to a restaurant. You know what I mean? And not curbside pickup to where I got to bring it home. My kids, I want that. You didn't tell me to order that. No. Mommy got a martini. Daddy got a martini. Okay? It was great.
Did any That's part all. Of you feel weird going in, though?
No, not
as
at all.
As you were approaching, as you were parking, did you look around? Did you like?
We parked, and you can ask my wife. I ran over, opened her door, grabbed her hand, ran. I said, we were so excited going in. So excited to go in. I'm telling you, when this thing opens, man, people are going to be jacked. Pumped up and jacked.
Well, I'm glad it's an option for you. I know other people are going to head down there. I'm 7 miles from it,
so it's an option for me.
Right.
It's not an option for you.
We've had some amazing takeout meals from Massachusetts.
Oh, so have I.
So, as far as I can tell, barring anything that I can't think of right now. You know, we'll just continue to do 90% of our meals at home and then do takeout from here. And it's been fantastic. I mean, and like I say, some of the things that the restaurants are doing around here to make takeout, easier to deal with, whereas before it may have been a little bit of a pain and you were kind of, I get it. You know, I've worked in restaurants, you know, I've been a bartender and a waiter and I've made food and done all that stuff. You tend to focus on your dine-in customers first and the takeout stuff. Sorry, but it's secondary.
Now around here,
the takeout people are your only customers, and they're doing a phenomenal job with it.
They are.
I will continue to support the Massachusetts takeout business for now, but I'm glad things are working out and seemingly so
now,
far
with
in Rhode
it
Island.
Being, with it being in Rhode Island and not necessarily local, what kind of tip did you leave?
Oh, 25%.
No, very nice.
Yeah, 25%.
Nice, good, nice.
Yeah, Bill came to, I don't know, somewhere around $75. I left 100.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. So,
yeah. But no, to Hardy's point.
That's 33 1/3%.
The day before, I went to see my man TJ down at the Parker's Pub.
Right.
And he had lobster rolls. He did like 10 lobster rolls in a tin. It was the best lobster rolls I had. And we order takeout locally here all the time. And it is great food. But there's something to be said about actually taking a shower, blow drying your hair, putting on a hair of high heels, dressing up, and getting in a car. And let's go eat at a restaurant at a 2-person table. That's all. It's the ambiance of it. And that was neat, and it was different, and we appreciated it.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. We'll get back to the sports items of the day coming up. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're on. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.